Talk Live. Yes, it is Free Talk Live, the live Monday night edition. Our telephone number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. If you would like to join the conversation, talk about anything that's on your mind. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the captain.
Yeah, it's Ian.
And nobody.
And we are here to bring you the program. And as such, I thought we would kick things off tonight. This came from several different hosts in show prep today. Julian Assange, UK judge blocks extradition of WikiLeaks founder to the United States.
Does that mean they're going to cut him loose, or they're just going to hold him in prison there for the rest of his life for nothing?
Good question.
That's a great question. Near as I can tell from my breeze through this article from the BBC, this is merely a pause. It is not like the UK has, you know, stepped in and said, eh-eh.
Well, that's
By this point, I would just be like, why don't you take me out and shoot me behind the chemical shed and we can all save ourselves a lot of trouble.
It's interesting you say that, having not read the article, because the reason the UK judge gave for pausing this particular extradition is because he's concerned that Mr. Assange will commit suicide if extradited to the United States. He does not trust the United States.
As you know, I mean, actually commit suicide or get suicided?
Well, these things could be interpreted between the lines, I think.
Yeah, no. I thought there was supposed to be a rule in the UK that said they're not allowed to extradite somebody to a place where they could possibly face a death penalty.
They can't extradite somebody who they expect to face the death penalty, but there have been times, for example, when in order to get an extradition, the United States has had to agree not to execute the person in question.
Interesting.
Has that happened here?
I don't know that Assange was there ever
Isn't
any question of
treason?
The death penalty for he couldn't be facing treason. He's not even an American. You can't commit treason against a country that isn't your country.
That's what you would think.
If
but
he's
welcome
not,
to 2020 or 2021 now, I guess.
If he's not even
he's
an American.
Not charged with treason. He's charged with aiding in some kind of computer crime, like helping break a password.
So if he's not even an American, how is an extradition even possible? Shouldn't he be?
Well, you can extradite anybody anywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, if, well, let's put it in a different context. If he had broken into, or if he had helped somebody break a password so that that person could, defraud a little old lady's home or something. Do they have? Yeah, I guess
sure.
They do. Then certainly there would be no question that he would be extraditable for that.
Okay.
Because it was connected to a crime in the United States. The thing that makes this different is that the thing that it was connected to in the United States wasn't a crime. It was somebody doing their actual duty,
right?
Which is
journalism.
To ignore the law when the law is wrong,
right? And WikiLeaks, of course, the popular website that, in my opinion, doing journalism, right? Where the journalists weren't.
Well, and although that's something, I mean, your average journalist, I think, will certainly know that if they assist somebody in breaking into a computer to get that doesn't belong to them to get a piece of information and they get caught at that, they're going to be in some trouble.
Right. So this article, this is from the BBC.com, and we have a couple of different news articles just to make sure that we get the gist of what this is about. This goes on to say, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange cannot be extradited to the United States, a court in London has ruled. The judge blocked the request because of concerns over Mr. Assange's mental health and risk of suicide in the U.S.
See, the introductory passage, at least, and I know frequently the small print takes away what the big print gives, but that doesn't sound like a temporary stay.
Yeah, the word blocked doesn't sound like pause to me.
Right. So
now, of course, he could be reversed by somebody else. That's always a possibility in the court system.
It seems to me, and we'll go on, you know, and see what the article, but if memory serves, there is some sort of a bit where, like, they're looking for some sort of assurance from the United States that he's
So that would be a temporary stay then.
Yeah.
If they have a demand.
We'll see how it pans out between these two things. Mr. Assange, who is wanted over the publication of thousands of classified documents in 2010 and 2011, says the case is politically motivated. Expressing disappointment at the ruling, the U.S. Justice Department noted that its legal arguments had prevailed.
See, I think he would be better off extradited. And the reason I think that is because I don't think an American jury would convict him.
You don't think he'd get Epstein'd?
He might.
Because I'm with you on sort of reading between the lines here. When the judge says he's concerned about Mr. Assange's mental health and risk of suicide in the U.S., you know, it doesn't, you know, I don't know if that's a direct quote from the judge or not, but if it is, that makes me think he's like, first of all, Mr. Assange is in bad mental health. Second of all, I'm worried about the risk of suicide in the U.S. Yeah. Now, whether or not that's he's saying I'm worried about Mr. Assange's risk of committing suicide, or I'm worried about the potential of, quote, suicide, unquote, in the U.S. is a whole different story.
It's hard to say because he would have access to lots of information from the jail that, of course, we do not.
Yeah. It's the position of the U.S. that the leaks broke the law and endangered lives. While we are extremely disappointed in the court's ultimate action or ultimate decision, we are gratified that the United States prevailed in every point of law raised, the Justice Department said. The U.S. authorities have 14 days in which to lodge an appeal. And are expected to
Okay,
do so.
Okay, so it's an appeal. If it's being appealed, then it's a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Mr. Assange will now be taken back to Belmarsh Prison, where he's being held, and a full application for his bail will be made on Wednesday. Maybe he can get bailed out.
Oh, so he may actually get out. That would be the biggest biggest good sign is, you know, if he was actually walking the street again somewhere. I think that if he does hit the street again, they are unlikely to rearrest him and extradite him.
Really? Even in Great Britain?
I would be surprised just because politically they don't want to close that can of worms and then open it again.
Yeah.
People will be irate.
It's interesting that they would be putting him out on bail because, you know, they, from well, what
he
I understand,
has to
they have
apply
no,
for it. So whether or not it's granted is a whole different story.
Yeah, but I thought that they had no reason to hold him with the exception of this extradition.
Oh,
so
yeah, maybe. Well,
sometimes they hold you pending the state's appeal, depending on.
Okay.
And British law, of course, is going to be different than ours.
Right.
But during an appeal, they'll let him out on bail, whereas prior to that, they wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, during the other side's appeal, they're more likely to let him out on bail than on his appeal of a
right. He's not going to appeal this. This was in his favor.
Decision. Yeah.
Well, his lawyer, Ed Fitzgerald, told the court there would be evidence to show Mr. Assange would not abscond.
Okay.
So apparently the lawyer is giving the court assurances that he's not going to fly.
Yeah, but that also indicates that the court is not convinced that their business with Mr. Assange is concluded.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like that would be...
Well, I'd be worried about being abducted. I mean,
Maybe,
I mean, they may just whack him.
Yeah, maybe the UK government won't take him again. Because, again, remember, he was wanted by the UK government because of the alleged charges out of Sweden,
right,
which ultimately ended up being dropped. But he still had to sit in a jail cell for a year because he missed a court date.
Right.
Because he ran from capture there.
603-283-6160. Do you think this is good news for Mr. Assange? I'd prefer to see him pardoned. We've got more Free Talk Live coming up. 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160.
What's that?
It sounds like some type of a phone number.
Oh, they changed the studio line, didn't they?
Yeah.
I was thinking, you're getting that completely wrong.
It's 603.
That's like your girl's number or something.
283-61. Yeah, maybe I'm just being mean, right? Oh, my girl broke up with me. Quick, everybody prank call. 603-283-6160. No, that is the studio calling line for this show. This show, of course, is Free Talk Live. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I just wanted to take a minute and say, big old Jedi albino, don't carry me too far away.
Big old Jedi albino, don't carry me too far away.
Right. That's the lyrics, right? That's what they say, right?
Yeah. I like it.
I don't know if there are any
Excuse
albino.
Excuse me while I kiss this guy. Doo-doo-doo.
Exactly. The greatest hits of the drunken asses here on Free Talk Live. Mm. We have been talking about this news out of the UK. From multiple sources, apparently Julian Assange has had his extradition blocked by a UK judge. So they were preparing to extradite him to the US, and the UK judge said, wait just a minute. We are concerned over Mr. Assange's mental health and his risk of suicide in the US. Is that an English accent? I think so. I was trying. And so we wanted to find out a little bit more about this. Well, what did the judge say? Well, the judge said, District Judge Vanessa Beratzer. That's funny.
Okay, that was definitely not a female Beratzer. British accent you did.
No, not at all. ruled that while U.S. prosecutors had met the tests for Mr. Assange to be extradited for trial, the U.S. was incapable of preventing him from attempting to take his own life.
So maybe... What happened to... what's his name?
Epstein.
Epstein.
Right.
Was an influence
You mean when
here.
He didn't kill himself?
Yeah.
I got the distinct vibe that, you know, again, reading between the lines, they're not saying that, hey, we know Epstein got Epsteined. And so that's why we're not sending Assange over.
But the thing
over.
Is, that's nonsense. I don't think Epstein didn't get Epsteined, is the thing. Epstein's
right.
Sitting on the beach in Tel Aviv. Epstein got extracted, I think.
Yeah. Outlining evidence of his self-harm and suicidal thoughts, she said, the overall impression is of a depressed and sometimes despairing man, fearful for his future.
Well, how could that be? Isn't that a strange thing?
Yeah, like, what tipped you off, Einstein? What was your first clue?
So you're saying he's rational.
She went on to say that I am satisfied that the procedures described by the U.S. will not prevent Mr. Assange from finding a way to commit suicide. And for this reason, I have decided extradition would be oppressive by reason of mental harm, and I order his discharge.
Okay.
Oh, so she ordered his discharge.
Yep.
So why is he having to bail out if she's ordered his discharge?
I don't know. I mean, I could take that out of context and say all sorts of gross things.
I mean, maybe she's doing medical tests.
Oh, maybe.
What do you mean by that? Medical tests on what?
Well, maybe there's some discharge that needs to be tested. Maybe he caught something from Pamela Anderson.
Is she getting a side of fries with that order of discharge?
Too far.
I think you
Too
mixed far. Your yeah. metaphors.
Oh, I'm sure I have. Have you met me?
Are they freedom fries?
Mr. Assange, who wore a blue suit and a green face mask in the dock, I don't know what that has to do with this story, closed his eyes as the judge read out her ruling on Monday. His fiancée, Stella Morris, with whom he has two young sons, wept.
How did he do that?
When did that happen?
Wait.
He went from Pamela Anderson to this lawyer, Stella, and had two kids?
He got her. Did he get her knocked up, like, twice in like, the lawyering room?
I don't know. It doesn't say how young the sons are.
That's true, but it does say
young.
He
was locked up for, like, 7 years in the Ecuadorian embassy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. She could have represented him like way back when.
Little bit of conjugal visitation going on.
It's possible.
Well, that's where Pamela Anderson was visiting him.
That's true.
So he probably had his fiance visit him as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I heard they conjugated.
Anyway, Stella said that, Stella apparently wept and was comforted by WikiLeaks editor-in-chief Kristen Rafsnan.
Hands to yourself, Christian. He's in jail.
It's a girl, Kristen.
Oh.
Speaking outside the court after the ruling, she called on the U.S. president to, quote, end this now. Mr. President, tear down these prison walls, she said. Let our little boys have their father. Free Julian, free the press, and free us all.
Yeah. Well, Trump wouldn't do that because he thought it was the right thing. But if he thought it would irritate somebody he didn't like, he might.
Says,
I can see him doing that to troll somebody.
Well, yeah. It says in English law, this would be enough, or it would be enough for him to be charged with a crime. And so the route was open for Mr. Assange to face trial for the same in the United States. So that they're just saying that Britain and the United States sort of see eye to eye on whether or not what the U.S. is accusing of him is a crime. But British extradition law also requires the judge to consider Mr. Assange's health. And it's the effect of his possible detention in near solitary confinement in a supermax prison that proved decisive. The U.S. in the judge's conclusion can't stop a mentally unwell man taking his own life in those conditions.
They're basically saying our prisons are better than yours. She made the reference to, I think it was HMS Belmarsh, which was where
well,
they were
he was saying when
him.
He went in, so yeah. Maybe she's saying our prisons drive him crazy.
No, she's saying that she believes that Belmarsh was able to keep him from killing himself, but the U.S. cannot keep him from killing himself, so therefore U.S. prisons are not as good.
Because making you suffer longer is a great kindness.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Yeah, this isn't really a great ruling, sarcastic. But it's the best ruling that we could have hoped for at the moment.
At the moment, yeah. When the U.S. does appeal, it'll have to convince more senior judges otherwise, and by otherwise they mean that the U.S. prisons don't suck and they would be able to prevent him from committing suicide. Mm-hmm. We kind of covered what Julian Assange might face, but this says a possible penalty of up to 175 years in jail.
Wow. Okay, so not death.
Right.
But death.
He faces an 18-count indictment accusing him of conspiring to hack into the U.S. military databases, acquiring sensitive secret information relating to Afghanistan and Iraq wars, which was then published on the WikiLeaks website.
Information, interestingly enough, about war crimes committed by U.S. officials. So if a normal person was doing this, that would be, what, intimidating a witness, tampering with evidence.
Are you sure you haven't read this article? Because the very next sentence says, he says the information exposed abuses by the U.S. military.
But he didn't
hack
true.
It.
That's true. He just agreed to help Chelsea Manning get into it.
I thought he turned over
some hash to somebody and got them to break a password or something.
I thought he was only responsible for the publishing of the information.
No, he was helping get into the files.
I see. 603-283-6160. More coming up.
Bitcoin.com is the best source for learning about cryptocurrency. Go there now, click on Get Started at the top of the page. Once you do that, you'll find a cornucopia of information, neatly organized for your needs. If you're a knowledgeable crypto user, check out news.bitcoin.com where you can get the latest headlines. Bitcoin.com is your source for buying cryptocurrency, getting a wallet app, mining, trading, and all the latest cryptocurrency news, all on a slick and easy-to-use website, all put together by the best minds in the business to teach you about cryptocurrency. Bitcoin.com.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. It is Free Talk Live, the Monday night edition. Our telephone number, if you'd like to join us, is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me, it's...
I'm Ian.
And I'm Nobody.
And Bitcoin.com is the best source for learning about cryptocurrency. You can go there now and click on Get Started at the top of the page. Once you do that, you'll find a cornucopia of information neatly organized by your needs. There's no longer an excuse for ignorance of this important world-changing information.
As a data processing professional, I can tell you there's no way to organize information neatly in a cornucopia.
That's a good point. If you are knowledgeable of crypto, you can check out news.bitcoin.com, where you can get the latest headlines of all the news that's relevant to you. Bitcoin.com is your source for buying cryptocurrency, getting a wallet app, mining, trading, and all the latest cryptocurrency news, all on a slick and easy-to-use website. Visit bitcoin.com. Okay, so moving or segueing from the Julian Assange thing, let's just say he's...
We're going to take little scooters away from it?
That's right. All three of us, we're getting on those two-wheel things.
And ride them
yeah, from England to the next issue.
Okay, groovy.
Here we go.
That's going to be an interesting segue. We should have a little video of that we play when we go from issue to issue of us riding around on Segways.
And we could do the Beatles album cover where we're crossing Abbey Road.
We could do that, but then we'd have to go to England and they might arrest us and throw us in Belmarsh prison.
Maybe we get Assange to join us on a Segway. That'd be fun.
I'm sure he would be delighted to. It's his captors who might have a problem.
Well, so let's assume for a moment that Mr. Assange is granted bail.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in England. So
that is where he is.
He gets out of this prison, and what happens? He walks right into another prison because, this from NBC News, faced with mounting cases, England announces new nationwide lockdown.
Yes, they have.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, I call him Boring Johnson, but whatever. Boring Johnson said trips outside will be allowed only for essential shopping, exercise, COVID-19, medical help, escaping domestic abuse.
Only COVID-19 medical health. If you're dying of cancer, you got to stay in the house and die.
and work for those who can't work from home, apparently. British Prime Minister Boring Johnson said Monday these lockdowns are going to go ahead and go forth, including the most stringent level of restrictions since the start of the pandemic.
Wow.
In order to slow down the spiral in new cases of COVID-19 on the same day the UK started the rollout of AstraZeneca's vaccine.
But almost one out of every 200 people who gets the disease dies.
I don't get why the UK is getting the AstraZeneca and like the US is getting the Pfizer.
AstraZeneca is a European company.
Okay, but like, I mean,
well, they've got they pay the politicians off.
Yeah.
Each drug company is expected to pay off their own politicians.
It's a territory thing.
Yeah, it's territorial because that's how it works. Is each drug gang has a bunch of soldiers that guard their turf,
right,
against other gangs from other places.
I was just thinking,
you have to pay off your gang.
You know, because we're all about choice. I'm all about choice here. Most of us, you know, who have the freedom mindset anyway, welcome more choice. So it occurs to me that there might be somebody who's very vaccine-y that wants the vaccine, right? You know, that wants to get it, wants to take
somebody
it.
Somebody out there wants the to other collect one. The whole set.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, they want to get the little glass with the AstraZeneca, you know, logo on it, or the one with the Pfizer logo.
If he sends me his address, if you're listening, if you're that guy, send me your address. I'll send you mine.
But it occurs to me that somebody in the Pfizer territory might want the AstraZeneca vaccine, and somebody in the AstraZeneca territory might want the Pfizer vaccine for whatever reason.
Tough.
Yeah. All right. Well. The measures are similar to the lockdown imposed last March and include asking the public to stay home and leave.
Asking, yeah.
That should be in quotes.
The news always uses that term. When it's talking about government mandates,
right,
it uses the term asking.
Which is funny because, you know, if a normal person pulls out a gun and says, I'll kill you if you don't do what you're told. They call it like kidnapping or something.
Well, it reminds me of the bouncers in the bars, right? Like if you start causing a ruckus and, you know, you're being a drunken ass, the bouncers will come up to you and be like, sir, we're going to have to ask you to leave.
Well, you don't have to.
Well, they say they're going to have to. Gonna have to is one of my favorite phrases.
Gonna have to. Like, we're not asking you to leave now, but eventually we're required to. It's in our contract.
Trips outside will be allowed for only essential shopping, exercise, COVID-19 testing, medical help, escaping domestic abuse, and work for those who can't work from home.
Well, they're all being domestically abused if they're being locked up in their houses without committing a crime.
Yep. Amen to that. If you tuned into our episode last night, we covered the 15 indicators that you are in an abusive relationship with your government.
And how many of them did this government pass?
Oh, I mean, I think all 15 apply to just government, just as a deal of existence, right?
If it's not an abusive relationship, it's not a government, because by definition, I think a government takes its money by force.
Right. A government that exists equals an abusive relationship. This goes on to say primary, secondary schools and colleges will also have to switch to remote learning starting Tuesday. That's tomorrow. People who don't live together are not allowed to mix, but support and childcare bubbles are still allowed.
I'm so sick of the bubbles.
Bubbles. They're bubbles. God. I haven't even heard about the bubbles.
Well, that's because we're in New Hampshire, and we haven't really gotten a lot of this bubble propaganda from the government gang here.
Bubbleganda?
Yeah, it's going on in a lot of places, and it's all about restricting the number of people that you can associate with legally. In fact, there was a story.
Are you allowed to get some bubble butt?
I doubt it.
Not unless they're in your personal sphere. Do you remember some time ago, Singular Wireless had this thing where, like, you could have people in your circle?
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right? That's the same thing as what they're describing of these bubbles, nobody.
There's
but
video.
What if you don't have a circle?
Well, then your bubble's really small.
Yep. I don't have a circle.
Sorry. You don't get to hang out with anybody.
Yep. I'm bubble free.
And many of these are very, very restrictive. Some places have put these in place for folks, and only their so-called bubble includes just their household. That's it.
Yeah.
And that I mean, that's the end of it. There's a story from
And nobody's shooting politicians over this?
You are?
I don't think violence is the answer, but Disclosed.tv had a video here.
Well, I didn't say it was the answer. It just seems surprising that they're not.
Disclosed.tv had video of Canadian police storming a gathering of six people after a neighbor ratted them out. There's video of this happening.
Wait. How many equals a storm? So there were six people who gathered. If they stormed the gathering, did they storm this gathering with more than six people?
I can't tell you how many.
It looked like
how many cops.
You couldn't really tell because most of them didn't make it into the residence.
Right,
it looked like there was a confluence of swine outside that residence.
Yeah, I can see it. Looks like at least four cops outside trying to pull a man out the door.
And where was this?
This is in Canada, where they have these very strict bubbles that they are, you know, forcing people to obey.
I mean, the first time I remember hearing about anything resembling a bubble was back in the mid to late 80s, maybe early 90s, where people started talking about their personal space bubble. Right?
Sure.
Like, I don't know. I've been around a guy. I actually had a conversation with a guy. He was in one of my bands, and he would violate your personal space bubble all the time. Turns out he just had bad eyes, and so he couldn't, like, really tell how close he was to a guy. And so when I talked to him, he's like, oh, sorry, dude. I got bad eyes or whatever. And he actually went and had, like, the surgery, and then it got better.
Oh, but that's good. So he wasn't just using that as an excuse to cop a feel?
I didn't know. Well, no, I mean, he would get, like, really close to your face and, like, spit on you as he's talking you know, all that kind of stuff. And people are like, what's up with that guy? So 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live on the way. That is the phone number for this radio program, Free Talk Live, the live call-in radio talk show program where you can take control of the airwaves, talk about anything that's on your mind. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
It's Ian.
And nobody.
Something funny, Ian?
No. Well, yes. I was just watching a video
I detected a giggle.
Yeah, you did. I watched a video of a man being arrested for hugging, which is not funny. But that actually did happen in the UK, which is what we've been talking about here, discussing Julian Assange being maybe being released here pretty soon. If all
they've completely reversed themselves on the whole hugs not drugs thing. It's like they're legalizing drugs and outlawing
hugs. Yes, they are, apparently.
Well, I want to hear more about this guy getting arrested for being hugged, but you've heard us talk about Dibby here on Free Talk Live, and maybe you've wanted to set up
schedule.
One of their easy-to-deploy masternodes or stake Dibby so that you can begin earning Dibby right now. Ian over here says setting up a Divi masternode was super easy and staking was even easier. Now, we're not investment advisors here on Free Talk Live, but we do think that you will be impressed with your earning potential with Divi as compared to the traditional investment vehicles. Go to DiviProject.org and get started. You can buy Divi at several exchanges or directly from the Divi team. If you need help, there's a link to their Telegram channel right on the front page at DiviProject.org. That's D-I-V-I Project.org. So somebody needed a hug and the guy got arrested?
Multiple people were receiving hugs. It appeared to be happening at Speaker's Corner in London, where a man...
Was this like a Biden thing where he was like hugging little kids who didn't want to be hugged?
Nope, not at all.
I thought Biden sniffed kids.
He sniffs them, hugs them, touches them, grabs their boobies.
He does all
or
kinds
their
of
lack of boobies?
No, this was these were adults who were consenting to being hugged. The man was a serial hugger. He did give multiple hugs out to consenting parties, and then police swooped in and put him under arrest.
We'll have none of that!
Yep, they said, "You up, you're not, sir, you're not. These are not people you know. They're not in your bubble."
They're in this bubble now.
Mm-hmm.
Your bubble's been bursted.
Yeah. So I don't know what the charges
are. They
burst
his bubble.
I presume it's the equivalent of, you know, breaking governor's orders, whatever they would charge you with here in the U.S., but that's what's happened.
You violated the king. The king said no, and you went ahead and did the thing that the king said no. Now you will go into the cage.
It's bad. Very bad.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. That's happening. It really happened.
Yeah. We live in a... I mean, the world is really bizarre. In some ways, I feel like when I moved to New Hampshire, I passed through, you know, into a different dimension. You know, the world was a certain way. And then shortly after I got here, here comes the COVID, and all of a sudden we're in this dystopian medical hellscape nightmare. But going on with this article from NBC News, talking about the new and improved lockdown being imposed on the entirety of England. That's right. National lockdown extreme. Because, you know,
this is what happens when you don't have any guns and you can't fight back.
Well, and even the police in England don't carry guns, so they
do
like,
now.
Oh, do they?
Yes. It actually, it's really interesting, but after they outlawed guns there for the citizens, crime started getting worse and worse and worse.
Well, go
and
figure.
The cops had to start carrying.
I thought they were running around yelling, "Halt," or "I'll yell halt again."
they did, but back in the day, they would actually, if they had to make an arrest of somebody who was dangerous, they had to gather up like a little posse of armed Brits. And, you know, of course, they couldn't find any.
Yeah. Well, speaking in a late-night televised address, Boring Johnson, that's Boris Johnson for the rest of you, warned that the weeks ahead will be the hardest yet. But he believes the country is entering the last phase of the struggle,
sure,
as they said every 2 weeks since March.
Does that mean they're going to stop resisting and just die?
Right.
Yeah, or they just start killing people. Yep, it's over now.
Yep.
We've shot everybody.
Well, I mean, that's the end game. I don't see how this is going to end in anything but a massacre.
I feel your frustration. He goes on to say, "I know how tough this is, and I know how frustrated you are, but now, more than ever, we must pull together. He's not subject to any of this stuff. Yeah. But now more than ever, he says, we must pull together.
Yeah. Oh, well, why don't we lock you up for a while and see how you feel about pulling together after that?
I'm all for that. I'd like to see any of these politicians be deemed non-essential, because that is exactly what they are.
Hoist with their own petard, as it were.
To be
British.
Indeed. Boring Johnson said, "People should follow the new rules, which will become law in the early hours of Wednesday morning, starting immediately." That makes no sense. So they're going to institute this thing on Tuesday. The new rules are going to become law in the early hours of Wednesday, but yet it starts immediately.
It's government. I mean, is it supposed to make sense?
No, it isn't. The measures announced apply only to England, where Johnson sets policy, with Scotland, Northern Ireland, and Wales, the other three countries in the UK, setting their own rules.
Yeah, I mean, they can't make it make sense, is the thing. Because if they did that, then people would know that they were having their lives taken from them, and they would have only one rational reaction, which is to fight for their lives.
Yeah. Early on Monday, Scotland announced a full legally enforced lockdown with people ordered to stay at home for January except for essential purposes. It's no exaggeration to say that I am more concerned about the situation that we face now than I have been at any time since March, Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon
too.
Said.
Me too. What a coincidence.
So what you're saying is none of your government mandates, lockdowns, or any of that actually had any kind of effect to the point where they're now having to do...
We must lock down harder!
It had an effect. They didn't get second waves in places where they didn't do lockdowns.
All right.
Yeah, nothing the governments have done has had any effect.
No,
that they
none of it has had any positive effect.
Thank you.
It's all had effects.
You are correct.
They're not ineffective. They're just evil.
It's the same thing as when you're going to public schools and they tell you that the government's there to protect you and the government is there to help you. And then it turns out, nope, none of those things are true. And so when it comes to these lockdowns...
Isn't it funny that it turns out that all those teachers worked for the government?
And now as far as these lockdowns and masks and all this stuff are concerned, they go, oh, this is to help you and this is to stop the spread and this is to contain the spread of cases. And none of it has had any positive effect.
Well, they just need to do it twice as hard.
So now we must lock down harder. Lockdown 3, lockdown hardest, even more hard than we locked down before. Extreme lockdown.
We did lockdowns before and more people died, but this time we're going to lock down even harder and it will somehow have the opposite effect.
In 3D.
Son of lockdown.
In stereo, where available.
Oh, what do they call it when all the old people who were in the original lockdowns get like a resurgence at the end of their career? You know what I mean? Like the... They had the movie with, like, Stallone and Van Damme and, you know, the something that was called something.
Know. Oh, it was like the Furious Five?
Yeah. No, it was the Expendables is what it was. So they'll have the Expendable lockdown, and they'll get all the old people. Like, I remember when the first lockdown kicked in, and we were still able to go to the drive-through.
Well, the thing is, I mean, if you're not a member of the club, you're expendable already.
That's true.
By the way, it's also getting worse in other places, including San Francisco.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Tell us more.
Just when you thought San Francisco couldn't get worse.
Oh, yeah. Their so-called stay-at-home order, which was supposed to be lifted as of January 7th, has now been extended indefinitely.
So, wait, I'm sorry. Say that again?
The stay-at-home order was supposed to expire this week on Thursday. It is now extended indefinitely. Now there is no date of expiration for the so-called stay-at-home order.
I said this when these lockdowns first freaking started, that it wasn't going to end.
Mm-hmm.
I said they're just going to keep... We saw it before with the TSA and the Non-Patriotic Act, also known as the Patriot Act.
Yeah.
Where at first it was, well, we're going to have this thing for a couple of weeks. Then it was a couple of months. Mm-hmm. Then it was, okay, we're going to extend it for 6 months. No, we're going to extend it for another year. And then suddenly and finally, they just said, no, we're going to just have this thing in perpetuity.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, and when they're done with this, they want to do it again for global warming.
Yeah, no, we talked about that last week. I think I brought that one up where they've introduced the idea that somehow lockdowns and masking can assist with global warming. I don't know.
I think that maybe what's needed, maybe the sun's burning too hot and we need to make some sacrifices. Maybe we should throw some politicians into volcanoes.
Ooh.
See if that helps.
I mean, if we could build a catapult to launch them into the sun.
That would be good.
I could, you know, maybe get on board with a little GoFundMe for that particular adventure. 603-283-6160. Hour number two, coming soon.
Having taken her father's throne, Sarah Calhoun has fallen out with one of her best allies, and her brother Nathaniel heads into Imperial Philadelphia with a reckless plan. Her uncle Thomas, armed with new powers and new allies, aims to remove Sarah from her throne and from the world of the living. To survive and to gain the strength she needs to fight an impossible war, Sarah must unite the Mound Builder Kings to enact an ancient rite that will propel her beyond mortality. Servant Daughter by T.J. Butler is the newest entry in the Dragon Award-winning Witchy War series from Bane Books at BaneBooks.com.
Free Talk Live.
Yes, hello. What have we got here? Oh, I don't know. It sounds like some sort of a radio talk show program.
Wrong, Governor.
If only there were a phone number with which folks could dial it, folks. Do they say folks in England?
You mean the telly?
You're bloody well right.
The telly is 603-28... I'm getting Australian.
I don't know if they call it telephone, the telly, or the television, or the telly, but you do have to have a permit to have a TV there.
You do. You have to have a license, and they have, well, they have vans.
They say it's a license, but it's really it's just you've paid the fee.
That's the same thing as a license.
Yeah, that's what a license is. When they take away your ability to do something, sell it back to you for a price. Yeah. But they do have men in vans going around with these devices that can point at and hear through walls or whatever and otherwise detect whether or not you are watching licensed TV or unlicensed television, which is really strange. Can you imagine being that guy?
And it's been that way for decades.
Yeah.
There, right?
Can you imagine being that guy? Your job?
Well, just like the cable company here can tell if you're paying your bill. The thing is, there, the government is the cable company.
Well, the government is all of television.
Yes.
You can't watch television without their permission, which is really scary.
Well, not just permission, but they provide it.
So this is Free Talk Live. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
It's Ian.
And nobody.
And you can call 603-283-6160 if you'd like to join us. We've been traveling internationally on the show so far tonight. We've been talking about England so far. We talked a little bit about the rest of the UK, including Scotland and Ireland. But we're going to move on to China. And hey, nobody, you might know the answer to this one. How come there weren't any lockdowns and mask mandates in China?
There were. They welded people into their buildings.
Okay, but this is a joke. So what's the punchline to the joke? Well, after they welded people into the buildings, how come there were no mask mandates and lockdowns in China? Because they're already a communist country.
Okay. Cute.
China seems, or at least itself, is claiming success that it has somehow defeated COVID-19.
Well, I mean, they more or less did, actually. Because at some point months ago, the government pretty much announced, yeah, we're not going to worry about this anymore, and just stopped caring.
Yeah.
And they defeated it, because then it was just like the flu. You might get sick, you might get not, you might not, but either way, life would go on.
And if you are listening to this program and you've paid attention to the numbers, you might also be asking yourself, in the United States anyway, what happened to the flu and the common cold? The CDC numbers don't exist.
Oh, people don't get that anymore.
They don't exist. Apparently, COVID-19 is the cure for the common cold and also the common flu. Anyway, this is from Jordan Schachtel, Substack.com. It's an editorial bit. And it says, China's COVID-19 success is a mirage that continues to deceive the West. Wuhan residents packed city streets to bring in 2021. Now, you may not have seen this, but there was a nice photo floating around on the social media. The top of the photo was, of course, China on New Year's Eve with packed streets in the downtown areas of all, you know, like a big city. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the bottom photo was Times Square, where there was empty.
Except for the mayor and
except the mayor
his
and
wife
his wife
dancing.
Taking their you know, hypocritical dance moves. Social media was set ablaze last night with shocked and perplexed reactions to New Year celebrations media coming out of Wuhan, China. which showed packed streets and citizens bringing in 2021 in an almost pre-corona fashion unparalleled in virtually the entirety of the Western world. The Wuhan celebrations were presented as a great source of national pride for China, who are projecting to the world that they alone have succeeded in conquering a virus that no one else has been able to get under control.
Yeah, so just hilarious. By not worrying about it.
This is so hilarious. As the COVID-19 case count continues to rack up across the West, China claims that its pandemic problem has been solved for many months. And then there's a bit of a video here that actually shows, you know, you can see thousands of people gathering. Many were baffled to see China's unprecedented images and videos showcasing supposed success in dealing with the virus, all without even having the need for a COVID-19 vaccine. Some were downright envious that the Chinese citizens were able to bring in the new year freely and openly, hoping that one day it could be them too.
Can just stop falling for government nonsense.
It's true. That's all it's going to take is for people to stop going along to get along, yeah. but they don't seem to be interested in doing that.
At some
point, I cured a Branch Covidian today.
You did?
You should tell the story.
You cured?
I'll tell the story later.
Well, why don't you do it now?
How about tell it now? You brought it
okay,
up.
Okay, I'll do it now. I
just want to make sure this isn't a joke. Like, how do you cure a Branch Covidian?
What is a Branch Covidian?
A Branch Covidian is a member of the Covidian cult. The cult that believes that, you know, the COVID is the end of the world and that we're all going to die of it.
Sure you cured a Branch Covidian, or did you just cure somebody who was going along to get along?
Well, it's my story. I'm going to tell it the way I want to.
All right.
Okay. Continue.
So anyway, I'm in the gas station and I'm doing what I usually do, which is I always ask the cashier, how many people do you know that are sick? And they always say the same thing, just about, which is nobody.
I've seen you do this, and you are very good at doing so.
And I say, doesn't that seem strange to you, or something like that? This time I said, strangest pandemic ever. Usually people get sick when they have them.
Mm-hmm.
And I turn around just in time to see this guy in line behind me whip off his mask and say something I couldn't say on the radio, this thing. and I was like, oh, my God. I gave him his face back.
Nice.
Nice. He didn't have a face, and now he does.
That's pretty cool.
Some people will steal your face right off your head. I'll put it back.
So the Socratic method was deployed where you merely asked a series of questions.
A very short series of one question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's all it took.
I guess you said strangest pandemic ever instead of doesn't that seem strange? That would have been a second question.
Yes, this time I did. Although that is a common one with me also is, doesn't that seem strange to you?
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. 8 months into the worst pandemic ever.
So now, did this particular person whom you've claimed to have cured of his Branch Covidianism, did he say anything to you? They're like, I'm never wearing one of these frickin' things again.
He did not. He merely whipped it off.
Okay.
And didn't he? And he said, "F this mask" or something?
He did, but I can't say that on the radio.
Right. Okay. All right.
Well, you can say
because
F.
We've got an unconstitutional organization called the FCC that doesn't permit that sort of thing.
I have a made-up acronym for them that I also can't say on the radio.
I can say my acronym for the TSA.
Yeah, I'm going to say
thousands.
That,
I mean, standing around.
Given your definition of Branch Covidian, I'm going to say this was not a Branch Covidian. I don't think that if this person was truly a believer in COVID and was truly afraid of COVID, he would not have whipped his mask off and said, F this thing. You just simply gave a go-along-to-get-along person the permission to go along with you.
It could be, but it could also be, I mean, when you think about it, for every person who's left a cult, there was the moment that it happened.
That's true.
Know?
That's
and
true.
Maybe they'd been straining at the edges of the cult for a while. Maybe they'd been questioning, but eventually the moment came when they whipped off their mask and everyone saw their face.
Well, and what I like about...
And they were in color.
What I like about things like this, nobody... when you do things like this and somebody does whip off their mask because they're like, F this.
I'm so glad it's not their pants.
Well, yeah, of course. But what I like about you doing things like that is that there's going to be other people who see that. And he's going to tell the story of how he did that to somebody else, right? And that's important because it's important for other people to see it so they, too, can begin to realize it's okay to stand up for yourself.
Yeah. And that's the thing. We got to be bold, but also be nice.
603-283-6160. Will you whip off your mask? More Free Talk Live on the way. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Thanks.
Not nobody, everybody.
Oh.
Did you forget who you were for a minute?
I thought you were welcoming me back.
I was welcoming everybody back, not nobody.
What, I'm not included in everybody?
Nobody is not included in everybody.
I guess not.
It's tough to be nobody.
It is.
It's a hard thing to be.
Indeed. This is Free Talk Live.
It's not easy being green, either.
You've been talking to Kermit again?
I love Kermit.
Hey, Kermit. Our telephone number here is 603-283-6160, and we'll get to your calls and thoughts momentarily. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Yeah, it's Ian.
And nobody.
And let's just go ahead right away to your calls and thoughts. We have Joe calling from Michigan, listening on the internet. Joe, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, first of all, I don't believe anything coming out of China, but I will say, you know, they got like what, 1 billion people, maybe a little over 1 billion now. If COVID was as deadly as our news media is saying it is, they should have bodies stacked up like firewood, mm-hmm. and they couldn't even drive down the street without, you know, just dead bodies laying everywhere.
Agreed.
I've never seen anything like it. Just ignore what you see with your eyes and listen to us because we're the experts.
It's a testament to how brainwashed everybody in the United States has been. And I blame public schooling.
Well, I just think we got a lot of gullible. I mean, Fauci, he said masks don't work. And then he said they do. You know, I mean, it's like.
And then he said he lied.
Not paying attention?
Yeah. No, they're not. No. People who listen to the show might be paying attention, but outside of that, the general populace, no, not paying attention at all. They are just taking what they're fed by the television and running with it.
I went to a little record store the other day, and like one of the little used record shops, you know, they sell UCDs and all that stuff.
Yep.
And, you know, I go there a lot, so I complied and wore a mask, but... Right next door, literally, they share the same parking lot, is a restaurant that's going out of business because of the lockdowns.
Yep.
Who decides what businesses get to stay open?
The government.
The politicians.
Yeah.
You got to know who to pay and how much.
I mean, in a real...
Factories are still running. Walmart's still making money.
Oh, yeah.
But your local
bar
has
big to shut businesses,
down.
They're going to keep going.
I mentioned this on yesterday's program. The real answer to your question is customers. Customers decide if your business is essential or not. If your business attracts customers, congratulations, you are essential.
Customers don't make the decision. Not anymore. Government does.
It's insanity, man. It's insanity. And, you know, I don't care if you're religious or not. Like, telling people you can't go to your synagogue or your church or whatever, that's a violation of the First Amendment. All this, you know, all this...
stuff?
Most of this stuff is you know, our Fourth Amendment, our First Amendment.
Yeah.
They don't care. People, it's like if you give people free money and free food and they got a roof over their head, they'll hand over their rights.
Well, Joe, you yourself said that you put on a mask to go into this place that you went to.
Yeah, I didn't want to, but...
But why'd you do
it? You know, I go there a lot. I like the guys in there, and, you know, I just...
So That means, well, hold on. I thought you said you like the guys in there. So you're going to show how obedient you are to show them that you like them? How does that show them anything about you liking them?
Well, yeah, you got me. It's a little hypocritical, but
do you think those guys are going to give you a hard time?
As much as possible.
If you don't go in, if you don't go in wearing a mask, do you feel like those guys are going to give you a tough time?
They probably just asked me to leave.
Really?
And I will say this:
they'd ask a regular customer to leave. You think
I understand the position that these small businesses are in because they got everything on the line, and the state literally will pull their licenses from them, and they don't have
the big
lobbies that Walmart has. And
where are you calling from?
He's in Michigan.
So there's there's no medical exemption.
Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Is there any kind of medical exemption there in Michigan?
I don't know.
You don't
I've never had it. I've never asked about it, really.
You should do yourself a favor and read the mask mandates that applies in your state.
I wouldn't even bother reading it. I would just say I'm medically exempt, and then they won't do anything to you in most cases. If they do then kick you out, I would be surprised. I think that's very rare that will happen.
And, you know, you can always relent.
I've been kicked out of a few places, or asked to leave and harassed to put on a mask out of a couple places. But, you know... And it's, you know, that was probably a bad example, I guess, you know.
The only place of business where I've put one on was a bank.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of money involved. But the thing that I won't ever do is like walk in with a mask on. I'm going to walk in without a mask on. I'm going to make them say, you have to put a mask on. And then I'm going to tell them why it's nonsense for the entire time that I'm there.
Mm-hmm. And how many times has that actually happened, except for the bank?
The bank is the only place.
Right.
Oh, no, that's not true. When I first came back from Michigan, a doctor's office.
I
went to the doctor's office, and they... I wasn't even thinking about the mask as anything, but, you know, it's a doctor's office.
Yeah, I figured at a doctor's office, okay, it's a doctor's office, whatever. But even then, I didn't walk in with a mask on. I was at a dentist's office, and they didn't say anything to me.
Well, I definitely didn't walk into the doctor's office with a mask on. This was before anybody had masks.
Hey, Joe, I have a question for you. Are you getting the vaccine?
No, I'm not going to get the vaccine. I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but... you know, I'm going to wait, I guess. I mean, like I said, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I don't want to be forced to do anything. If my employer tries to force me to do it, I won't do it. Even if it, I guess it would cost me my job, I guess. But
see, I'm not necessarily an anti-vaxxer, but I'm definitely opposed to being an experimental subject. And invented this vaccine last week.
I'm opposed to getting a vaccine for something that I have a 99.98% chance of defeating if I actually do happen to come down with the thing. So, I mean, that to me, to get a vaccine on something like that is insane. You know? It's insane.
I mean, it's the majority of people who've died from this have been elderly, or they've had something else that was basically, you know, some other serious condition. You know, and it's just absurd what's going on. And it's insane, man. This is like some weird movie we're living in.
Yep.
Oh, it sure is. And thanks for the call tonight, Joe. We do appreciate it. Hopefully you have more of an experience where you don't wear the mask and show it off to other people in hopes to also spark them to not wear their mask, because we need more people showing it off so that other people can be inspired. 603-283-6160 is our number. More Free Talk Live is coming your way.
If you want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate, well, I know a guy who's really great.
It's the Realtor Mark Warda.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Warden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing, too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Warden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
It is Free Talk Live. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to, well, the radio talk show from the perspective of freedom. That's what I like to think of it as. Our telephone number.
Drat.
I know. I was doing
is
so
Is it from
well.
The perspective of freedom, or is it from the perspective of not being free and wishing we were?
Well, I think your description is probably more accurate than mine. But our telephone number here is 603-283-6160. We've got a couple folks about to speak to us, so we'll get to them in just a moment. In the studio tonight, it is me, the Reverend Captain Kickass, and joining me, it's...
Yeah, it's Ian.
And nobody.
And let's just go ahead right away to the telephones, to your calls and thoughts. We have Hyo Silver calling from Oklahoma.
Hey!
Hyo Silver, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, how's it all doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, let's see. I've been working on a few projects lately, and you still there?
Right here.
Yep.
Okay. I'm messing with my phone.
We'll be here for hours.
Yeah, yeah. I've been focusing on activism, you know.
LRN.FM.
You know?
LRN.FM.
You know?
LRN.
You know,
yeah, that's not how you do that.
Is it the main? That's not supposed to be unmuted. All right, we had a little snafu there. Hyo Silver, you can't say those bad words.
It's not the words that are bad, it's the FCC.
Yeah. So, sadly, we will just go to the next
He's been
call.
Talking about calling us for weeks, too. That's funny.
We've
got to give him a hard time next time I talk.
Yeah, Hyo Silver, sadly, we can't allow cussing on the air, so we had to let you go. But we do have Steve calling from Arkansas. Steve, you're on Free Talk Live. Sorry, Steve, I had you muted. Steve, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, how you doing?
There you are. We're good. What's on your mind tonight?
I'd like to apologize for my neighbor from Oklahoma there. I won't be saying those words.
Please try not to, please.
So I attended a funeral today of a 72-year-old gentleman who was a 32-year Army vet, a buddy of mine. It was his father. And, of course, he died of COVID, and I'm using air quotes.
Interesting.
He was sick for about a month and developed pneumonia. Went to the doctor, tested negative for COVID. So they gave him some medication, sent him home. Went back to the doctor a few days later, tested negative for COVID. They put him in the hospital. And where did they put him? They put him in the COVID wing of the hospital.
So he
ended up testing positive for COVID a week later. Go figure, and passed away a week later.
Well, if you want everybody who dies to die of COVID, then taking all the sick people and forcibly exposing them to COVID may help.
Yeah.
That is...
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like what they did in New York in the beginning, right? They put all the elderly folks together and let it spread through them like like wildfire? And,
well, they actually shipped the folks with COVID into the elderly homes.
Yeah, they forced the nursing homes to take in COVID patients, and the doctors were like, this is crazy. Because, you know, even a doctor can recognize that's crazy.
Yeah. You know, we have these regulations that they were supposed to end on the 3rd of this month, and now they've been extended another month where bars and restaurants with a liquor license have to close at 11 o'clock.
Oh, does the COVID not like to go out at night? Is it like having trouble driving when it gets dark?
You know, it's just ridiculous. I mean, if you're a restaurant that doesn't sell alcohol, then you can stay open later.
That doesn't make any sense.
But if you're
sense.
A restaurant that's got alcohol, you have to close at 11 o'clock.
Because apparently COVID is not only a lightweight, but also an alcoholic that can't handle its booze after 11.
Well, most viruses can't handle booze. That's why they...
I reckon as well.
You know, it's just insane. That we have, you know, and we have, of course, these mask mandates. And now I go to a place here. The lady that owns the place, her and her husband are good folks. They're just trying to make a living. They have a restaurant here and a bar.
Yep.
And I wear a mask when I go into her bar because I don't want her to get a ticket or get her license taken away because I'm there without a mask. Now, it's weird because all you got to do is walk in with your mask as soon as you have your drink. You can take it off.
That's so COVID ridiculous.
Knows, once you have a drink, you're off limits.
Right. Yeah. If you got a beer in hand, apparently the natural carbonation of the beer keeps the COVID away.
Exactly.
Well, viruses and bacteria and microorganisms in general really can't handle their alcohol.
That's what I said. COVID's a lightweight, but also an alcoholic.
But anyway, I just wanted, you know, that, and that's just here in little old Arkansas. I can imagine in the bigger cities and things like that that it's even worse. But
yeah,
the fact that, you know, we're getting 3,000 to 4,000 cases a day reported and 30 to 50 deaths reported, but there's only been like 15 people in Arkansas die from the flu this year. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so weird. I appreciate the call today, Steve. Steve was listening to us on 96.7. That is so weird that the whole. They took him to the hospital and put him in the COVID ward thing. I don't like that at all. I assume there's nothing a guy can really do about that, like from a legal perspective.
You could not go to the hospital.
Yeah, fight back.
Yeah, I guess.
Refuse to go. If they try to take you against your will, fight back.
It just seems bizarre that somebody would, you know, get a little bit sick and then go to the hospital and then be sent to the COVID ward and then be diagnosed with it a week later.
I won't go near doctors until this thing is over.
Well, and, you know, we've seen with, like, the Great Barrington Declaration where, you know, thousands, tens, hundreds, 40,000 or so medical professionals.
They weren't all medical professionals.
Well, no, the whole thing has been signed by over 100,000, but 40,000 of them were.
Really?
Yeah, okay. 40,000 of them, I believe that's the number. I could be mistaken. It could be 50 or 30. I'm not sure.
Each and every one of them was a bad mother in his own right.
But, I mean, there's plenty of evidence that doctors themselves disagree with how to handle the COVID and the lockdowns. I say, you know, take back your businesses. I say take back your lives. I say start operating as if you are a February of 2020 human being again immediately, because this madness is not going to end. They're already talking about using these lockdown measures for other purposes, mm-hmm. including battling climate change, aka global warming, whatever you want to call it. And how does that make any sense? How do you leap from one to the other? It doesn't make any sense to me. If it makes sense to you, that means you are probably very, very brainwashed.
Yep. If there is no struggle, there is no progress.
Yeah,
is the way it is. So what I say is be polite, be kind, and if they put their hands on you, put them in the cemetery.
When just to circle back to the previous caller who mentioned that if this were a pandemic,
they'd have to be trying to stop people from panicking.
Yeah,
instead of trying to make them panic.
you know, bodies in the streets, you know, maybe that's a little extreme, but certainly most people would know directly a person within their, quote, bubble, unquote, who had it and died from it. But that is not the case.
Without being, you know, sabotaged into it by the government sticking them in a COVID ward when they're already old and sick.
And just to wrap up this article, China's response in Wuhan was pure pseudoscience. It didn't actually work. China did not eliminate the virus. The data about lockdowns in over 100 countries
don't eliminate any virus.
Shows that they do not work to eliminate a respiratory virus. Same goes for every other non-pharmaceutical intervention. More Free Talk Live is coming up. Yes, it's Free Talk Live. Our telephone number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And we'll get to more of your calls and thoughts in just a moment. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the captain.
It's Ian.
And nobody.
And AnyPay 2.0 is here. And crypto payments are now faster than ever. If you're using Edge Wallet, Handcash, Bitcoin.com, or Dash Wallets, your experience should be smooth. I know mine is. But some wallets aren't yet ready for this impressive new technology. These wallet programmers need to hear from you, the wallet users. Visit AnyPayInc.com/upgrade to learn why some popular wallets are incompatible with AnyPay 2.0. And reach out to those wallet programmers to encourage them to make payments perfect at AnyPayInc.com/upgrade. That's AnyPayInc.com/upgrade. All right. So here.
With two D's.
No. That's one. Although I'm a fan
You've
of double.
You've seen Idiocracy.
I'm a fan of double D's, I have to say.
Have you seen the movie Idiocracy?
Repeatedly.
Yeah,
it's upgrade.
Yeah.
G-R-A-Y-E-D-D or whatever it is. Yeah.
With two D's.
Yeah, with two D's. So I guess on Free Talk Live, we now technically have the ability to give a second chance.
We do.
And so we're going to do just that. We're going to bring Hyo Silver back on. Hyo Silver has agreed to make sure he doesn't let any cuss words flow out of his mouth while he's talking to us. So, Hyo Silver, you're back on Free Talk Live.
Yeah. I put on a face diaper so that nothing will get out.
Keep the cuss words from flowing. All right. Yeah. What was on your mind tonight?
Actually, I've only used one once when I cleaned my chicken coop this year, last year. But at any rate, yeah, I was wanting to just share a couple of things. First of all, it's an essay I wrote recently called Freedom Agenda 21, just trying to put something out there, you know, positive things people can do to grow their individual freedom in the year ahead. You know?
Okay.
We've got all this focus on a lot of negative stuff, and, you know, if you focus on the negative, that's what you get.
That's true.
So, at any rate, the paper is on Telegram it's at Freedom Agenda 21. Also, it's on the website agorist.market in the main menu on the far right.
Okay.
So what is it?
Through a list. Pardon?
What is it?
Agorist.market.
No, what are you offering?
I'm just sharing a paper with you that I wrote, positive things people can do in the year ahead.
Can you give us some examples rather than just telling us where to get the paper?
Yeah, I'll do that. I just thought I'd start with that.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, give us
a reason why.
Okay. Yeah, well, at any rate, there's a nice long list of things that people can do both.
Give us three. Give us your top three. What do you think are some
out of their area?
Yeah, give us three things people can do.
Three things. Okay. First of all, if you have a business, start accepting more non-bank payments.
Good one.
I know you guys are big on that.
Yeah, good one.
Also, Get out of the banking system. You know, avoid bank system debt.
And I want to make it clear to our listeners, too, that while we here on Free Talk Live are big on cryptocurrencies, cryptocurrencies aren't the only game in the stop using banking and government currency world. There are other forms of currency. Folks already know probably about gold and silver, but we're also big fans here on Free Talk Live of gold backs.
Yeah.
And these are a new form of, I'm going to say, I don't know, how do you best describe gold backs?
It's spendable.
Spendable gold. It's they look beautiful. They're works of art.
Artwork, yeah,
and
for sure.
And they're, you know, like the one is 1/100,000th.
No, 1,000th.
Or 1/1,000th of an ounce of gold in the one. And there's different denominations. They have different artwork. They're great. So go ahead.
Yeah, that's a good one. Another one is just investing in yourself. You know, a lot of people don't think about that as an investment. But, you know, learning skills, that's huge. Nobody can take that away from you as long as you're still walking.
Learn how to shoot.
Yeah. Also, there are ways to be able to stay out of debt by, you know, building on your own land, building affordably. There's something in there about, in the paper, about how to do that and how to build. Also, where you're able to have a nice garden, you know, you're generating what you need for your garden without having to use a composting toilet. You can actually put all that composting outside in a tank and have a normal flushing toilet inside. That's one of the things that we're promoting at a new freedom community in the Western Ozarks. So I've been working with Jim Davidson on getting this plan going.
A freedom community?
Yes, it's called Valiant. We're in the process of acquiring the property now. On Telegram, you can learn more about it at Valiant, V-A-L-I-A-N-T _community. That's also linked in this paper that I mentioned earlier.
Excellent. So
isn't Jim Davidson the infamous libertarian internet troll?
Yeah, I guess. I don't
is he
think
infamous?
Of him as a troll, but
I like
he's
him.
A good friend.
Whatever happened with Jim Davidson? Because he used to come to the Porcupine Freedom Festival a long time ago. He decided the Ozarks were a better bet?
Well, I don't know. I don't know anything about what his thoughts were there. But, you know, I've been in this area for a long time. I have a homestead a few miles away from this property.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful here. The weather's nice. Good
so
portion of the year.
Have you lived there for a long time?
I've had my homestead for 7 years now here.
So you didn't. So this wasn't a migratory project for you, or you weren't part of some sort of move here project. But you're creating a project where other people, you want them to move near you.
We're creating a freedom community where people can move together to be with kindred spirits in this area if they prefer this part of the country.
Gotcha. What makes your project different than, say, Free State Wyoming?
Well, we're not trying to take over the governance of some territory.
They didn't try very hard either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's better to first get everybody together in a place where they can, start building a freedom community, and then that can expand into maybe getting some people on the, county commission and stuff like that. And that would be pretty easy to do because we only have three commissioners around.
Now, are you guys trying to, count the number of people who are going to move there, or is it just going to be sort of an open invitation?
No, it's a open invitation to people who are willing to abide by the non-aggression principle.
Okay.
And then
this is starting immediately?
We're in the process of acquiring the land. As soon as we can get the land secured, then, this thing's going to roll forward.
And what's that going to look like? You're going to be buying property and then people will be subleasing it from you? What's the plan there?
Yeah, these are long-term leases, like 999 years. Mm-hmm. So essentially you own the property, but there are a lot of advantages to one entity dealing with whatever issues you might have at the county level or whatever, and also not having things like roads that are possibly taken over by the county, managing our own power grid, those kind of things.
And what was the name of the project again?
Valiant.
Valiant.
V-A-L-I-A-N.
Well, I wish you guys better luck than Free State Wyoming, because they failed pretty miserably out there.
Yeah, hey, thanks for the call tonight, Hyo Silver. We do appreciate it.
No, they failed pretty miserably, nobody. They don't even exist anymore. Their website hasn't been updated in, I don't know, most of a decade.
I'll bet a lot of the people still exist.
I like.
But what are they doing?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
Some of them are probably here.
I liked some of his ideas about what folks can do. Like, I love the practical advice about how you can, you know, make some moves individually for your own benefit to take yourself out of the state as much as possible. That's always good
advice. Yeah, and if you aren't willing to move to the most successful and longest, most established migratory project, which is, of course, the migration to New Hampshire, then maybe they want to take a look at this next move here project, which there have been dozens of over the last 15 years, and almost all of them have failed.
And his the long-term lease.
Almost all of them have probably done some level of good.
Really?
I'm sure.
Give me some evidence.
Well, I know that the long-term lease bid they're modeling after some of the Indian reservations, they do a little bit of that. So that particular portion is of interest. We'll have the third hour of Free Talk Live coming up.
What if the United States and the Soviet Union had fought on land, sea, air, and the astral plane, struggled for dominion across parallel dimensions or on the surface of the moon? What wonders would have been unveiled? What terrors would have haunted mankind from those dark and dismal dimensions? Come closer, peer through a glass darkly, and discover the horrifying alternative visions of World War III from some of today's greatest minds in science fiction, fantasy, and horror. Weird World War III. Available now from Bain Books at BainBooks.com.
Free Talk Live.
Welcome back to Free Talk Live, the live call-in radio talk program where you can get on the air and talk about anything you'd like. Our telephone number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160 if you'd like to join us in the conversation. In the studio tonight, it is...
I'm Ian.
I'm Nobody.
And I am the Lord Reverend Captain Kickass, formerly known as Captain Kickass.
LordKickass.com.
LordKickass.com if you care to hear some funny music. There's one tune up there. It's a parody of The Little Drummer Boy, and it's called The Lockdowns Are Dumb, a.k.a. Little Lockdown Boy. It is free. You just enter zero at the checkout, and you can have that song for $0. You can pay if you want, if you like the song. Feel free to make a donation. I'd appreciate it.
We may have a choir-sung version of that song coming out at some point if AnyPeg gets that video online.
Nice. Yeah. I would love to see that.
Yeah, me too.
That was a very good time. Thank you for putting that all together, Ian. I appreciate that. So we've been talking about a whole bunch of things, and
I got three calls, Captain, but
you had mentioned that the previous caller had put together a paper that had a list of things, practical things that people can do to increase their freedom. And so you had mentioned, as we were listening, as the listeners were listening to our commercial break, that you had three things that off the top of your head that people can do. So let's hear them.
Number one, I would say take off the mask.
Oh, yeah.
And just stop worrying about what other people are going to think and take off the mask.
Yeah. And if you're going to be nervous when you do it the first time if you've never done it before, but just, you know, take the thing off. Don't even bring it with you. Just leave it in the car or whatever. Walk into the place without it. And when somebody says, hey, you got to put a mask on or something like that.
No, I don't. I'm exempt.
No, I don't. I'm exempt.
I have a medical exemption.
Tell them, eat me. I'm a Twinkie.
I generally agree with being nice about it. I don't want to insult the person because most of them are just doing their job. They just, you know, whether they agree with what they're doing or not is another question. They just probably don't want to lose their job, so they're being obedient and doing what they're told. And most of them will leave you alone, likely, when you make this statement. If, however, they then push further and say, well, we don't care about your medical exemption. We don't want your kind around here. get out of the store or, you know, put a mask on, then that's up to you to make that choice. I would get out of the store in that case, unless there's some sort of real critical reason that you need to go through with it. Just, again, start out with the default position of not wearing that thing.
Right.
Because by wearing it and disagreeing with it, because there's plenty of people who wear it because they agree. Look at them. They walk, you know, drive around in their cars. They walk down the street. I mean, just these alone or with their lover or whatever. It's ridiculous. But, you know, start out by not doing it and then see what happens. Because the people that are putting masks on who don't agree with it, you're part of the problem. I understand your reasons for it. Well, I don't want them to get upset at me, or what will the neighbors think, or well, I know the store owners and I don't want them to get in trouble. Well, look, if they really don't want your business, then they'll say it to you. They'll make it crystal clear, because just because there's a sign on the door doesn't mean that's actually the policy. Yeah. There are exemptions to this thing in most places. They're written into the various different governmental rules. Now, again, it's their business, so they can set whatever policy they want to. And I will, you know, when that policy is made clear, I will make my choice.
Right.
But until then, to me, a sign on the door for this thing is just an indicator that they're trying not to be hurt by the government, not that that's their actual policy.
Agreed. Well, the thing is, if the sign is required, then it's not a communication from the store owner. It's a communication from the government.
Right.
You don't have to pay any attention to them because they're dicks.
So that's one thing.
All right. Number two.
Another thing I would say is to join the White Rose. I'm a big fan of what is going on with the White Rose.
What is the White Rose, Ian, for our listeners who don't know?
It is the resurgence of an idea that happened originally during the World War II. It was created to propagandize against the Nazis originally. They ended up putting the founders of it to death because it was so successful. And maybe that the founders of this one won't get put to death, hopefully.
Yes.
Because it's a little more diffuse. It's a little more, you know, hard to track people through things like Telegram and that
well,
sort of
just
thing.
In case, try to be armed if you're involved with this thing.
T.me/jointhewhiterose is the URL that'll take you to their Telegram room. If you don't have Telegram, you'll need to get it in order to make that link work. It's t.me/jointhewhiterose, all as one word. And that'll get you in there. And then what they'll give you is about a 90 megabyte file that I guess it's a zip file or whatever. You download this file, and it is what is contained within that file are dozens of images that you can then send to a label printer, which they say you can get these label printers for as cheap as $100 or or even less secondhand.
Yeah, you can get a used one on Craigslist for 30, 40
bucks. $30? Yeah. Now, I don't know what the labels cost, but they're probably not that expensive. Yeah,
I haven't looked into the label cost, but
so,
and apparently some of them are relatively temporary. I was talking to an artist online today, and that was important to me because I said I would be uncomfortable using them on private property.
Me too. I wouldn't want
to
do that.
If it can be easily peeled off, if it's just kind of something that's loosely stuck there and somebody can pull it off and take it away with them, then that changes things. That's more
I still don't like the idea of
littering.
I wouldn't litter on someone's private property either.
But
so
public property, on the other hand.
Yeah. And
there's no such thing as public property. If it's public, it's not property.
Government,
if it's property, it's not public.
Government-owned property.
There's plenty of so-called government property out there that could be useful for
bus
putting
stops,
stickers on.
But it's all closed. Is anybody going to go there and see them?
No. Like going downtown, you can put it on poles, right? Like light poles or message boards.
Trash cans.
But not
trash
Polish cans. People, because they might.
Yeah, don't invade someone's personal space.
Right, yes.
But the idea is these are very creative labels. They're funny. They're poignant. They're really they're interesting. They look good. They're well designed. And you'll probably find some. If you're of our mindset, you'll probably find some that you really appreciate. So I would say download those labels, get that label printer, and print them out. Although I will say, nobody, I agree with you to not put these things on private property generally, but I don't think I care as much about, let's say, Bank of America's ATM.
Right.
Well, you know? I mean, if you're a bank, you're part of the government. Right. It's like being a military contractor.
Yeah, so I'd bend the rules on those sorts of
quote-unquote
private property. Oh,
I'd burn a bank
property
down without thinking twice about it. Those guys are scumbags.
So join the White Rose. Join the resistance.
Yeah, those are two things that you can do right now to make a difference. And then, of course, number three, something else that you can do is open your business. If you've got a business and it's been closed and you're cowering and you're afraid of what the government's going to do, well, they're going to put you out of business the longer you stay closed.
Sure
so
enough.
Why don't you just go right ahead and open it up? Follow the example of the gym in Belmar, New Jersey, the Attilus Gym, who heroically has, you know, done everything against the so-called orders of the government gang there. And that would be a good idea. Now, of course, I'll go ahead and throw in a bonus. Move to New Hampshire if you, you know, absolutely really want to succeed. If you really want to have a chance at seeing more freedom in your lifetime, you have to combine together with other people who have a like mindset. Otherwise, we're just all going to get, you know, crushed.
So, I'll do three things extemporaneously. The first thing that I would say is, be physically and mentally prepared to fight, because the day may come when you don't, when you have to, and in violence, he who hesitates is lost.
Yep.
So that's the first thing I'd say. The second thing I would say is find ways to network with other people, whether it's over the internet, whether it's people close to you. Get in contact with other like-minded people, both to, you know, progress toward your goal and also just to keep your head straight. And
number three.
Thirdly, I would say, if you are able, find a way to aid in the spread of cryptocurrency.
Of COVID.
Buy it and sell it. Move it to where it's needed, because we've got to yeet our dollars to yeet that government power.
I couldn't agree with you. Yeah, I couldn't agree with
and
both
move to
of
New
you
Hampshire.
603-283-6160 is our phone number. Free Talk Live has got more coming up. Welcome back to Free Talk Live, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Our telephone number here in the studio is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's the Captain, Ian, and Nobody. And before we continue, I wanted to tell you about ForkFest 2021, where you can join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 28th through July 4th for ForkFest 2021 at Rogers Campground in the absolutely gorgeous White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest happens the week after the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and ForkFest is decentralized, which means no one is in charge. It also means there's no ticket cost. Just reserve your camping, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 28th through July 4th. Where better to celebrate Independence Day than around other freedom-loving activists in the Shire? You can relax and enjoy the camaraderie of like-minded people, or you can create whatever experience or event you'd like others to experience. If you're planning an event for ForkFest, be sure to let others know in advance. You can connect with fellow ForkFesters via the unofficial Telegram chat or the ForkFest forum. Links to those are on the unofficial website, forkfest.party. Mark your calendar for June 28th through July 4th, 2021, and we'll see you at forkfest.party.
Party!
Yes, because we've seen from this past year that ForkFest and the Porcupine Freedom Festival that occurs before it was kind of really the only thing going on
during the summertime.
And it was the moment of sanity.
It really was. And it could be that it's going to continue on. We keep seeing these politicians kicking this can down the road, expanding the lockdowns, expanding the mandates, continuing them. No, we're going to do 3 months more. We're going to do 2 months more.
Well,
2 weeks
more. They've already been
it
saying.
It will go on until we will no longer permit it to go on.
Right, which is why I was saying take off the mask, reopen your business, and then we can go back to normal as soon as you're ready. But, you know, to your point, Captain, there's a headline today, and it's really there's no reason to get into the details of it. UK scientists worry vaccines may not protect against the South African coronavirus variant. Remember, they came out a couple weeks ago, and they said, yep. Oh, there's now this UK variant of the coronavirus. It's spreading faster than it's ever spread before. It's not any more deadly, but it's spreading faster than it's ever spread before. And now they're just sort of they're tossing it out there that, hey, by the way, this new variant, the vaccines might not even work for this new variant. You're going to have to get a second vaccine later
and
this year.
And not just that. There's a whole bunch of other viruses out there that have not been annihilated. There's tuberculosis.
Yep.
There's
kills
the
over
flu.
A million each year.
There is cancer. There's all kinds of things you can die of. And there always have been.
And
there always will be.
And they kill way more people than COVID supposedly has. So.
Right. And they also
live free or die, because death is not the worst of evils.
Yeah. They were also telling people that even if they do get the vaccine, that won't mean that they'll have to, that they will, they can stop wearing masks.
Right. You still have to wear the mask.
Or
you still have to
distance.
Lock down.
Yeah.
You still have to social distance.
Yeah. So,
well, hey, that, I guess I'm ahead of the game, because I haven't had the vaccine. Not going to have the vaccine. And I'm not going to wear a mask either.
Very well. Let's go to your calls and thoughts. We have David calling from New Mexico. David, you are on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, setting odds and taking bets. So in these four charges against me, I have pounded DA Raul Torres, Bernalillo County, New Mexico, into the mat on three of them. He surrendered to me on those three. There's one left. And the final hearing is this week, I believe, the 8th at 9:45 a.m.
I hope they make him commit honorable seppuku.
And this is in relation to what? You got to do a quick recap here.
This is where I'm, just like I'm calling into your radio station to annoy people, I was calling into the public KUNM college station. They had a talk program like yours once a week, which is
not
now
like
defunct,
ours.
By the way. They went out of business. I didn't hear what you said.
I said, not like ours. We love you.
No, great. Great. So anyway, they tried to get, they called their personal police force, University of New Mexico Police Force, had me written up on four charges because I dared to call into their program after they told me they didn't want to hear from me anymore. And I argued that because they're owned by the taxpayers and paid for by the taxpayers, they can't have that choice. They got to be more equal in their distribution of their resources. They disagreed, had me charged four times, and I've beaten them on three of the four charges, and there's one left. And it's interesting to note that we're demanding the evidence, and they, for 5 years now, they've had 5 years to deliver this as evidence, and they still haven't delivered. Defendant needs interviews with two witnesses, 25 police reports, audio recordings, state to research and set interviews reset for pretrial conference in approximately 45 days. Well, that's up on the 8th, and we'll see whether they show up with any of that evidence. They've had 5 years and haven't delivered.
Supposed to be able to review the evidence that they have before your hearing?
It's discovery.
Well, theoretically, there's a public attorney involved, a Roberta Yurchik, but she has stopped communicating with me as of about 4 or 5 months ago. Doesn't communicate with me at all, so I haven't had the opportunity to view any of this evidence.
Fun.
Yeah. So anyway, taking bets. Then the bet is, so is this a setup or will they surrender? In other words, are they going to, if they surrendered on the previous three, are they going to surrender on the fourth one, or was that a strategic move on their part to put all of their resources into fighting one case while letting the other three go? That's the bet.
I'll give you an answer, but first I have a question. What is this fourth charge? What is the thing that they're claiming, you know, that you did?
Well, stalking, of course.
So that's the terminology they use, is stalking for this fourth.
This one is stalking as compared to annoying and harassing and whatever for other ones. But anyway, yeah, stalking is this one.
I think it's
domestic.
Yeah, I think that since you've gone through the motions, you know, you've gone through the system, so to speak. I'm optimistic here. I think that they're just going to toss it. I think you're going to show up and they're going to be like, oh, well, you didn't bring evidence, and so we'll dismiss it. That's what I think, or I hope anyway.
Yeah, I would say that's the likely odds. It'd be a long shot for the other one, but it would be fun if they would decide that they wanted to fight after all. That would be fun. So bring it on, Raul Torres. Bring it on.
Weird. Anything all else right. today, David?
No, that pretty much sums it up, but right. Thank you.
Best of luck with that, and give us the update after it happens, because I will want to know what goes on. Appreciate the call today. Yeah, the system, it is designed to work against you in almost every way, every shape, every form that it could possibly be designed to do so, in my opinion. And people like David, they get caught up in it all the time. They'll throw whatever they want at the wall and see what sticks and hope that you don't fight it so that they can go ahead and prosecute you.
Well, thanks for having stones, David.
Yeah. 603-283-6160 is our phone number. More Free Talk Live is on the way.
So the protection of life, liberty, and property is what the Free State Project is all about. But it's an effort to move 20,000 people who understand.
It's about demonstrating to the entire country
that, yeah, we can have a free market, a truly free market.
Making it just a freer, great place to live.
It's the world's largest voluntarist libertarian community, and it's only getting bigger.
That's amazing, to be able to move to a place where other people like passionately believe in being free and independent.
What the Free State Project is managing to do, though, is to put their money where their mouth is. Physically getting up across the country and saying, let's go someplace and let's demonstrate the power of these ideas. There's a lot of kind of philosophy that surrounds liberty. There's a lot of thinking about it and talking about it. But here in New Hampshire, people are doing it.
101 Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire, a documentary by Free State Project Early Movers. Watch it free at 101ReasonsFilm.com. 101ReasonsFilm.com.
Welcome back to Free Talk Live, the live call-in radio talk program where you can take control of the airwaves and talk about whatever is on your mind. Our call-in number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
It's Ian.
And nobody.
And we're going to shift gears a little bit. And what are we going to talk about, Mr. Freeman? You have something about Camp COVID?
Well, I saw a post from Vin Armani, a former co-host here on Free Talk Live. He's always got some interesting stuff going on.
Is he named
Twitter.
After the suit?
You'd have to ask him.
Okay, all right.
But I don't think it was born with that name. I don't think.
Right. I think the suit was named after him.
There you go.
That's classy.
He is handsome. But anyway, he posted a, I guess it was an image of a screenshot of what was ostensibly the CDC's website.
Okay.
And I went ahead and I Googled the text so I could make sure that it was actually a real image, because you never know with social media whether something's been doctored or whatever. But I did find the page in question. It was updated on July 26th of 2020, so not recently, but during COVID.
Summertime?
That was recent.
Well, I mean, seems like a long time ago to me. But nonetheless, the CDC reporting here that they have a thing that they're calling the shielding approach. Now, that sounds real safe, right? Like, so you're shielding people.
The shielding approach.
It's all about protection. And it's a different term. They've changed the wording. It's no longer a concentration camp. It's now a shielding approach.
So this is when they take something that they're doing and make up new words for it,
yes,
to hide what it really is.
Correct.
The amazing thing is that I laughed at Alex Jones when he predicted all this.
Yeah. So the document presents considerations from the perspective of the CDC for implementing the shielding approach in humanitarian settings. They're going to do it humanitarian.
Oh, it's a humanitarian concentration camp.
Right. No, we're bombing for humanity.
Look, there's nothing to worry about here. The government would never, ever do it like the Nazis did.
Of course
they would do it humanitarian when they do it. So as outlined in guidance documents focused on camps, displaced populations, and low resource settings, this approach has never been documented and has raised questions and concerns among humanitarian partners who support response activities in these settings. The purpose of this document is to highlight potential implementation challenges of the shielding approach from the CDC's perspective and guide thinking around implementation in the absence of empirical data.
Because you must control the minds of your slaves first.
Right. Note, in the absence of empirical data, they will be controlling thinking. So they don't have anything they can, you know, point to. And it wouldn't matter anyway because they're advocating for concentration camps.
The thought police are real.
Yeah. Considerations are based on current evidence known about the transmission and severity of coronavirus disease 2019 and may need to be revised as more information becomes available. What is the shielding approach? It aims to reduce the number of severe COVID-19 cases by limiting contact between individuals at higher risk of developing severe disease, high risk, and the general population, or low risk. High-risk individuals would be temporarily relocated to safe or green zones.
Didn't they temporarily relocate a bunch of Japanese during World War II?
Yes,
they temporarily relocated a lot of Jews during World War II as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. That's right.
Established at the household, so they'll create these safe or, quote, green zones at the household, neighborhood, camp/sector, or community level.
What is a camp/sector? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Inquiring. Well, I don't like the sound of that.
We have yet to see that, I suspect. But they've got plans for them, or the community level.
Oh, they've
level.
Got FEMA camps all over the country. Depending, it's been documented.
This will be a CDC camp. Depending
or
on the context.
They'll just borrow them from FEMA. They sure. don't have or, to build their own camp.
Camp COVID, as I'm calling them.
They will have minimal contact with family members and other low-risk residents.
Like jail. They were mm-hmm. very careful to shield us from that when I was in jail, too.
What's a low-risk resident?
Someone who's not high-risk, as in someone who has a higher risk of developing severe disease.
Now, are who they judging these... risk by medical conditions right. or political affiliation?
That's not being made clear here. They try to make it sound like they're talking about sick people or people likely to get sick. But that could mean someone who doesn't want to wear a mask.
Right. So, and who are these people that get to make these decisions? Are they also
they're the
elected
masters.
Government bureaucrats.
Or are they... Right. Okay. So,
I mean, that's my presumption.
Yeah, my here. Presumption as well.
So they say here, in theory, shielding... one more sentence of the other paragraph. For this reason, shielding approach suggests physically separating high-risk individuals from the general population to prioritize the use of limited available resources and avoid implementing long-term containment measures among the general population.
I just want to take a minute to suggest we separate politicians from the rest of the universe.
I suggest that we separate politicians from their heads.
Current evidence indicates that older adults and people of any age who have serious underlying medical conditions are at higher risk from severe illness. In most humanitarian settings, older population groups make up a smaller percentage of the population. So they say they want to physically separate these individuals from the general population. In theory, they say shielding may serve its objective to protect high-risk populations from disease and death. However, implementation of this approach necessitates strict adherence to protocol. Inadvertent introduction of the virus into a green zone may result in rapid transmission amongst the most vulnerable populations the approach is trying to protect.
Oh, you mean like when the government forced the nursing homes
yes.
to take COVID patients and murdered a bunch of people?
That is correct.
Okay.
A summary of the shielding approach is shown in table number one, which they then say is called Guidance for Prevention of COVID-19 Infection Amongst High-Risk Individuals in Low-Resource, Displaced, and Camp-like Settings.
Camp COVID, coming soon.
What does that mean? So
that means Auschwitz.
Yeah. So according to this table that they are telling us to now look at the household level, it would be a specific room/area designated for high-risk individuals who are physically isolated from other household members. At the neighborhood level, it would be a designated shelter or group of shelters, which would be max 5 to 10 households within a small camp or area.
Can we just call them what they are, cattle stalls?
Where high-risk members are grouped together. Neighbors swap households.
Concentrated, you mean?
Neighbors will swap households.
I'm concentrating.
Neighbors will swap households to accommodate high-risk individuals. So that means that they will then, they're going to tell you that you now have to leave your home because they're going to designate your home as the high-risk home. They're going to move the high-risk people into your home, and then you'll have to swap with another person, and then you can go live in their home. It's like that wife swap TV show.
Yeah,
from a while back,
or
it'll
the wife swapping that they do in China, where they take the Muslim people away and then they assign Han Chinese to go live with their wives and sleep with their wives.
The camp or sector level, this will look like a group of shelters, such as schools, community buildings within a camp slash sector.
A commune.
Which would have a maximum of 50 high-risk individuals per single green zone, where high-risk individuals are physically isolated together. So they've got plans for all kinds of different implementations here of these so-called green zones.
Sounds like
well, when y'all
POW
come to
camp.
Take me, send bachelors. You don't want to send married men.
It sounds a lot like a prison of war camp.
Mm-hmm.
Is what it sounds like to me. It also sounds like a lot like cattle, right? With farmers. You got a couple of barns, right? Some open fields where you can roam around. And then, oh, well, you know what? This other farmer over here needs some of this type of cattle, and you need some of the other type of cattle. So, like, every now and again, you'll trade, you know, for different brands of cattle. I wonder if you're going to get branding, too. We're going to get brands?
It wouldn't surprise me. You're going to have some way of identifying these
what
high-risk
sector
people.
And, you know, all that, you know? Mm-hmm.
If just it'll put a yellow star.
Sounds to me like a prelude to mass murder.
Maybe some sort of serial number could be tattooed upon everybody that
right
at one
on
of these
neck.
Camps.
Or on your wrist.
On your arm or something, yeah, perhaps, you know.
And don't forget the yellow star you could, you know, attach to everything.
Or maybe a digital chip or something could be implanted under your skin.
Scarlet
so
letter?
Easy.
How about that
oh,
one?
There you go. Yeah, yeah, that'll work.
Right.
Yeah, these are all viable options.
Right. What's old is new again.
603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live coming your way. Final segment of the Monday night live edition of Free Talk Live. I guess that's redundant. Live edition of Free Talk Live. It's better than the not live edition of Free Talk Live.
I don't know. Ours was pretty good on Thursday.
We did have a pretty good New Year's episode. And we didn't really talk about show prep. We just basically conversed. That was fun.
Yeah, it was good.
It was a good time. We were both on, as it were. But you probably won't get on air tonight, but for future reference, our number is 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass.
It's Ian.
And it's Nobody, here with a joke about COVID.
What is it?
You probably won't get it.
And so while we're doing things oddly, let's go ahead and say thank you to Troy. Troy is a silver level amplifier. What's an amplifier, you might ask? Well, no, it's not something you plug your guitar in, although it's actually that too. But when we're talking about amplifiers here on Free Talk Live, we mean somebody who's gone to amp.freetalklive.com and decided to contribute to this radio program in an effort to get us onto more radio stations.
They just have to decide to contribute, or do they have to actually do it?
You have to decide and then also do it. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's better.
Yeah, those two things need to follow basically in that order. I guess you could contribute before you decide, but it would seem like if you contributed, you've decided. Mm. Amp.freetalklive.
And if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice.
Thank you. From the lyrics from the greatest three-piece rock band ever. Well, maybe not ever, but Rush. So Troy has contributed $5 a month. You can donate more if you like to. And there's different perks for the different levels of contribution. So
I like perks.
If you like this program, you like the characters, you like the content, you're a supporter of freedom, and you want to help us do what we do here on this show, please consider amplifying over at amp.freetalklive.com. And thank you, Troy. You are very much appreciated. We've been talking about this document from the CDC that seems to imply their preparedness for something I like to call Camp COVID.
And I like to call it concentration camp.
Yes.
Now, these also have been called FEMA camps in the past, mm-hmm. among other things. Can you enlighten us some more, Mr. Freeman?
Well, I'm going to post the full link because it is a lengthy document. We're not going to read the whole thing to you here, but it's from the CDC. It was published over the summertime back in July, and it is entitled Interim Operational Considerations for Implementing the Shielding Approach to What They Say Will Prevent COVID-19 Infections in Humanitarian Settings. And the shielding approach is code for putting people into camps.
Great.
That's what that means. And actually, in their conclusion, they actually admit, quote, so, man, remember, the title of this thing is to prevent COVID-19 infections in humanitarian settings. The conclusion here says the shielding approach is an ambitious undertaking which may prove effective in preventing COVID-19 infection among high-risk populations if well managed. While the premise is based on mitigation strategies used in the United Kingdom, there is no empirical evidence whether this approach will increase, decrease, or have no effect on morbidity and mortality during the COVID-19 epidemic in various humanitarian settings.
But what they do know is that they will be able to have a very compelling effect on the mortality statistics of being a dissident against the government. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a great opportunity to murder people who don't agree with the GEM.
And what exactly is a humanitarian setting?
Well,
it's a concentration camp.
Yeah. It's just something that they're plastering all over this document to make it sound like, you know, they're concerned about that sort of thing in this practicing. So what this is it's a document that is essentially the CDC looking at a set of, you know, specifications here and then adding more specifications to that. So, for instance, there's another chart here which shows the shielding document's suggested prerequisites for the implementation of this, and then there's additional considerations as suggested by the CDC. So let me give you an example of this comparison.
Please.
So on the original side, the original document says community acceptance and involvement in the design and implementation, because you want it to make it look like you've involved the people, right? Sort of like when the city council says, we're going to make a new ordinance. We want you to come and give us your input because we care about what you think. And anyone that's ever been to one of these things knows they don't care about what you think. They're just
liars.
They're just setting a microphone up and allowing you to talk for 3 minutes or whatever so they can make it look like that they've cared about what you think.
Right.
So that's what they are saying. So, we're going to put these community centers together where we're going to put high-risk individuals to keep them safe. And here's all these members of the community who think this is a good idea. So CDC adds to this. They say even with community involvement, there may be a risk of stigmatization, isolation and separation from family members, loss of freedom and personal interactions may require additional psychosocial support structures and systems.
Wait, what's a psychosocial support structure or system?
Brainwashing?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't they just say that?
Why can't
they just use plain English?
Because they're the government. They lie. It's what they do.
Yeah, so that's one example of how the CDC is expanding the original proposals on this thing to make it sound like, you know, to try to make this more palatable. Timeline considerations. Plan for an extended duration of implementation time, at least 6 months. So, you know, whenever they start this program, don't expect it to stop anytime soon. They say the shielding approach proposes that green zones be maintained until one of the following circumstances arises. One, sufficient hospitalization capacity is established, which doesn't seem like they're going to do anything to try to increase that. Two, effective vaccine or therapeutic options become widely available. Or three, the COVID-19 epidemic subsides. And they say, you know, and then they say they don't know when these things are going to happen, et cetera, and so on. Finally here, there's, again, I'm just kind of skipping around this. Here's another interesting, some of these things suggest like what they might have planned, right? So here's another one.
Okay.
Consideration, plan for potential disruption of social networks. And then they give further explanation about this. They say community celebrations like religious holidays, bereavement, funerals, and other rites
of... And there's going to be a lot of funerals.
And other rites of passage are cornerstones of many societies. Proactive planning ahead of time, including strong community engagement and risk communication, is needed to better understand the issues and concerns of restricting individuals from participating in communal practices because they're being shielded. Failure to do so could lead to both interpersonal and communal violence.
I was shielded for a year and a half for weed.
Yeah.
Oh, shielded. I get it now.
They're shielding the so-called high-risk individuals from the low-risk individuals by shielding them away into a concentration camp.
And they're shielding them from freedom.
That's right.
And they're shielding them from making their own choices and from having a life that's worth living.
Correct.
Can we just shield politicians from the rest of the people?
That'd be a great idea.
I mean, if they're saying this is a good idea, we'll let them be the first ones to try it out.
These changes are difficult in developed, stable settings. Thus, they may be particularly challenging in humanitarian settings, which bring their own set of multifaceted challenges that need to be taken into account. They say that household-level shielding seems to be the most feasible and dignified, as it allows for the least disruption to family structure and lifestyle. However, it's the most susceptible to the introduction of a virus due to necessary movement or interaction outside the green zone, less oversight, and often large household sizes. So they're saying the household's not going to work because we can't keep an eye on you. You might do things that you're not supposed to do, like go out of your green zone.
Weren't all the wars that they fought humanitarian missions?
Yeah, you know,
they only bombed the people that they loved.
Humanitarian bombing is something that, you know, pops up from time to time with governments.
Implementation of this approach, talking about the wider approach of this whole thing, will involve careful planning, additional resources, strict adherence, and strong multi-sector coordination, requiring agencies to consider the potential repercussion among populations that have collectively experienced physical and psychological trauma, which makes them more vulnerable to adverse psychosocial consequences.
This sounds like that movie where they, the Hunger Games, right?
Yeah.
Where like the sectors and
yes.
You had to like, you know, fight
stay
for,
in the green zone.
Stay in your zone and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, we
something
are
bad's coming.
We are out of time. Thanks for listening, everybody.
It's the government.
Freetalklive.com, and you can hear us 7 nights a week. Have a good night. Peace.
Are you a cryptocurrency advocate? The Crypto Tip is the ideal outreach tool to help new people discover cryptocurrency. It's a printable business card size tip that you can give to service providers, preferably in addition to a good cash tip. When the server scans the QR code, it'll bring up an explanation of cryptocurrency, how to install a wallet, and allow them to claim the tip. If they don't claim the crypto, you get your tip refunded to you after a time period you specify. Plus, if they do claim the tip, you get an email alert. Create as many tips as you want at cryptotip.org. That's cryptotip.org.